Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm.
Well, it's good to be back another month, and crazy month it was, again.
What's the latest on the U.S. dollar and the economic collapse?
Yeah, well, we got some very general topics to cover today. And they're quite open-ended by design. The dollar has begun to rise. There is a paradox. And a lot of good people, a lot of smart people, a lot of good analysts believe that the dollar is going to go down because of the global rejection. But there's a paradox at work, and it's really quite curious, and we've had one lesson already, and I paid close attention to it several months ago. It was in Japan. They sold $250 billion in treasury bonds, and I would have thought, and I did think back then initially, well, that should lift the yen currency and drop the dollar. And the exact opposite happened, Jim. Foreign currencies, the major forex currencies, have the treasury bond as their foundation. So when foreign central banks sell treasury bonds, their own currency goes down. The dollar went up in Japan. In fact, it caused such a problem that the Japanese yen went down 22% in a 12-month period from September to September. October to October. During that time, they sold close to $200 billion worth of treasury bonds. So here's the phenomenon. Foreign central banks will unload, discharge, sell, and dump maybe more than a trillion or two treasury bonds, and it will result in the dollar going up, 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 not down. So when the dollar is rejected in the international financial markets, but the item of rejection is the treasury bond, the dollar will go up, up, up. This is totally contrary to common thinking that the dollar is going to get trashed, the dollar is going to decline. It might even attract foreign money for the U.S. stocks. It's going to be a supernova. Think of it as a rising phoenix that just dies out once it's gone sufficiently high and there's no more oxygen to feed that fire on the phoenix. This is very much paradoxical and backward to a lot of common thinking. I've been covering in the last couple of months, I've been talking frequently, a main topic has been how foreign central banks are going to sell treasury bonds. Who's going to have to buy them? Well, the answer is the Department of Treasury, because we issued them. An issuing organization for a bond is bound to buy the bond from sellers. Okay. It's going to get a lot more interesting. I've learned a couple things in the last month or so, that the Fed is going to become the bad bank, but they're doing their dead level best now to reduce their balance sheet, even while the dollar dumping in the form of treasuries is taking place. How can that be? How can the Fed accept on its balance sheet the dumped foreign treasury bonds while at the same time their balance sheet is in decline. That's because there's a second big, big fund behind the Fed. It's called the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And let me just say in quick terms, it's probably a $10 trillion fund or more. It is used to rig financial markets, numerous, and talking about it too much can get you murdered like Rob Kirby was, my colleague in Toronto. I'd rather not talk about the Exchange Stabilization Fund, but it looks like it is the rear guard garbage can to the Fed and its garbage can. We're going to see a lot of Treasury bonds sold, and it's going to be kind of mysterious. Where are they going? It could be that the end of the rear guard garbage can will come when they have to choke on their subprime U.S. Treasury bonds. Okay, that is a story in itself. Now, there's a lot of confusion that's going to come because the Fed is going to continue raising interest rates, and they're going to claim that they're fighting price inflation, but it won't do any good, because the price inflation is largely from a shortage of supply. Raising interest rates is not going to increase the supply chain volume. So they're going to do very bad policy, and it's not going to work, and it will accelerate the death of the dollar. But don't get too excited. The death of the dollar is going to be a long trajectory up to the stratosphere where there's no more oxygen. Oh my gosh, it's going to be confusing to a lot of really good, fine people. And I have an advantage over many that I've got a colleague group that is brilliant. And I'm modest. They're three guys. And honestly, they're all three smarter than I am. They're all more experienced than I am. I get the discussion going and I gather the consensus. I learn from their comments and their details. I pick up the arguments and angles. I put things together, and I'm the writer. So I have the newsletter. It's like we got a big, it's like the FOMC meeting, and then some individuals write the minutes. Well, I'm like the minute writer, and that's called the Hattrick Letter in my newsletter. I'm being a little bit modest more than I maybe should. I'd rather be more modest than less modest. The Fed is going to raise interest rates, and they're going to claim it's to reduce the price inflation, but they're lying. And they've continued to lie for several months. They're at risk of having failed Treasury bond auctions. And there was a recent Treasury bond auction, Jim. It was a few weeks ago, and it started out very badly. They added more and more volume to the auction supply. And they were very worried, and there are a number of different articles written, and Zero Hedge wrote about it. Others wrote about it. I read four or five different angles on the same event, and there was a lot of fear that the interest rate was going to go up because of a bad auction with too much supply. And, you know, we're having to deal with over $150 billion of Treasury supply per month on average, but some months like April and May are much lower, so it can get worse. It can get close to $200 billion in a month. And what the Fed did was something very clever and devious. I don't give them credit any more than you would someone who comes in to rob you at night and just finds a very clever way of coming through your third floor window. What they did was they handed money to their allies so that those central banks could bid on the treasuries. And I'm pretty sure that those treasuries, like in Belgium or Cayman or France or Belgium, they'll end up back in the Fed's balance sheet and then into the rear guard garbage can. So it was a sleight of hand and a devious way of bringing about a successful, what they called a successful auction in August for treasury bonds. But it was really the Fed using its friends. It's like, you know, you go to an auction for a painting and you give money to your friends so they can continue to bid. But then you take it back. It's to make it look good. It's a much more sophisticated way of putting lipstick on a pig. A Okay, I don't want to get caught up in my own metaphors, but we're going to have a lot of problems because these foreign central banks that bought our treasuries are net sellers. And if they're net sellers, then their buying is a very temporary event that's surrounded by selling events. There are other phenomena that are going to be quite interesting. The United States is not going to see a reduction in price inflation even as we raise interest rates, because we're inhibiting the supply chain volume. Now, we've got a bit of a knee-jerk learned response from 40 or 50 years. In the past, price inflation has always been too much money, too much wage income, too much money floating around, too much liquidity, too much income, too many big price increases, wage increases. This time is different since the COVID bullshit. Since the lockdown, illegal activity, locking down healthy people, that's criminal. They interfered and harmed with the supply chain, and they're doing more sabotage, like having labor union on railroad strikes, like having derailments all over the place across the United States, like having, let's say, aerial attack on food processing plants, like having chicanery to catch on fire, to light fire chicken farms, poultry hotels, whatever you want to call them. It's inhibiting the supply chain. Now, if there's a shortage of hens, if there's a shortage of food processing, if there's a shortage of wheat and soy and corn output, is raising interest rates going to improve that? Of course not. We've got a supply chain problem, and raising interest rate is not going to help our price inflation raging on. I believe we're going to achieve 30% price inflation in the next several months. Let's shift over to the foreign economies. Their currency is going to go down, and they're not really going to get a benefit with lower prices. The pricing structure is all screwed up with respect to currencies and interest rates because the supply chain is interfered with. Holy moly, what we're going to get in the United States and Canada, and that's what a lot of people care about in your show, is an interruption at the ports. In the United States, the foreign nations who shippers are not accepting the Treasury bill. And there is a big fat lie going around that there's a labor union strike at Long Beach, California. That is a bullshit item. The problem is that we've got a war going on underneath Los Angeles. And I know a lot of people are uncomfortable hearing about tunnel systems. Well, that is just tough titty for you. Tough titty for you. There's a gigantic network of tunnel systems across the United States and Canada, and there's a war going on underneath Los Angeles. I've got a logistics officer who contacted me again last month after doing a consult call a year ago or so. And he said to me, Jim, they're moving troops, 20 different army trucks per night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., right in the middle of Long Beach, right in the main boulevard, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., every night. They go into the Long Beach port and they're not seen again. And the inference is very easy. They're going underground to fight the war. And this contact said to me, it is far worse than that, because every single night we hear 5 to 10 big explosions underground. They are not seismic events. They are war events underneath Los Angeles. And he told me, my guess and the buzz is that all roads lead to the center. And that is where, let's just say, cages and trafficking of little people take place, and I don't wish to talk about that any further. So there's a lot going on, Jim, with the dollar. We are seeing issues now with respect to the dollar, the treasury bond, and gold. There are a number of different anecdotes that I have that are, you know, just scattered regarding the dollar, but I think it's time to move to the next topic.
What's going on with the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates? there were hints that they were going to announce last month that they were going to come up with some kind of gold currency. They didn't. Are they going to?
I hope not. Now, I had a lot of anticipation for the May St. Petersburg conference that they allowed to become a BRICS conference. And it, at that St. Petersburg late May conference, I was thinking, you know, I don't think they're going to announce much with respect to a BRICS gold currency. I really don't think they're going to do that. And a lot of clients of mine, I've got, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 that keep in touch with me during the month, every month. It's really quite enlightening and fun. It keeps me fresh, and I have contact with good people who are smart and have information. But I said to them, look, this is a tough game. If the BRICS reveal a lot in St. Petersburg in May about their plans, then the plans can be more easily interrupted by the Anglo-American Swiss banking Nazis. And they thought, well, that makes sense, but don't they have to make some progress? I said, well, really what they need to do is make progress behind closed doors regarding their gold token, because the gold token is very hard to attack. A BRICS currency might be a lot easier to attack. And that became a big issue during the June and July timeframe. And I started concluding at that time, Jim, that a BRICS gold token is far more powerful than a gold-based currency. What they need is a payment system. As we got toward the August anticipated, much anticipated BRICS meeting in South Africa, they're starting to call Johannesburg Joburg now. I think they've done it for a while. I'm just slow in catching on. When we got into August, I was thinking openly, well, on some interview shows and in numerous different emails with clients and colleagues, that I didn't think the BRICS were going to lay out the design of their gold token, and it looks like it's rather certain that they're not going to do a gold currency. So I was actually hoping that they would do a lot of closed-door progress, they would make a lot of decisions, they would have, you know, some difficult issues resolved, and they would speak not at all in Joburg at the BRICS meeting about a gold currency or a gold token, but rather about their unity, about their plans, and about their expansion. And here's why. If they lay out their plans and scheme, then they can be interfered with. And let's face it, the Anglo-Americans are expert at bribery, murder, intimidation, infiltration, etc. The other reason is simple. Very simple. Time is on the side of the BRICS. If you look at the four pillars of the dollar fortress, it is the banks, the bonds, the government debt, and the derivatives. And they're all in very big trouble, and it's getting a lot worse every single month. So the BRICS don't have a rush. They don't have a time deadline. They could say, you know, we're going to wait till February before we make any concrete announcements. And under their breath, they'll say to each other, because the dollar is breaking down on all of its foundational elements, the banks, the bonds, the government debt, and the derivatives. So I wasn't the least bit surprised at the Joburg outcome, where not a peep came about the gold token. Instead, they welcomed the nations you mentioned, Saudi, UAE, but also I think Argentina and Egypt. And if they're not in now, they'll be in soon. I don't actually care too much about who is formally invited and who is actually just following their agenda. There's a lot going on with the BRICS. I noticed something extremely important about the Joburg BRICS meeting that did not get a lot of attention in the Western press, and I think I know why. China is now gradually being regarded as a big BRICS player. They're the C in BRICS, but they're doing something that's really angering all the other primary member nations. They're trying to convince the other nations to go with United Nations banking policy and structure regarding a CBDC and, more importantly, their credit scoring system. And the other nations are telling them, screw you. It got so bad that in Johannesburg, the bodyguards for President Xi were arrested. This is not on your evening news. He was arrested. They were arrested to isolate Xi and let him know that he was not going to give a keynote speech to the BRICS audience and proclaim all of his different plans for the United Nations infiltration to the BRICS. This is a very big success story for the BRICS integrity. They told China, screw you! They did not permit him to give the speech. His commerce minister gave the speech, and not a whole lot of people gave a shit. That was the biggest event out of the BRICS. And those who focus on the gold currency, you don't know what the hell you're talking about or looking at it. You don't know what's important. You don't know jack shit about what's going on. The BRICS do not have a timetable rush to get their token or their currency in gear. Their main emphasis, and this is outlined by India, my next little area here, their main emphasis is not to use the dollar. So the Russian and former Soviet republics are using the ruble. The Pacific Rim is using the Chinese yuan. The Persian Gulf is using the Chinese yuan. The OPECs are temporarily using the Chinese yuan for oil sales. That's a big, big deal. The primary initiative and agenda of the BRICS is non-dollar. It's not gold. It's non-dollar. And India just won a deal with Russia. They're buying oil in rupee, the Indian currency. Non-dollar. India is buying Russian oil, processing it, selling gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel to European nations. Non-dollar. India's announced they don't really like the BRICS gold token idea. Who cares? India's non-dollar. India's also got other deals involving payment in UAE dirham. Non-dollar. The main issue for the BRICS is non-dollar trade settlement. Period. They can wait until the dollar structures falter more significantly, and that's, I think, exactly what they're doing. The BRICS are expanding, and I really don't care who's a member or who's not. If they're a member, then they get voting rights. Look at Japan, for instance. They're acting like a BRICS member for the last year and a half. They're not a BRICS member. They're dumping treasuries, they're buying gold, and they're doing trade, buying oil from the Persian Gulf in yuan. So they're selling treasury bonds and loading up on yuan in order for energy purchases. They're not a BRICS member. Who cares? They're following the BRICS agenda. Non-dollar. I said it 8 times now. The agenda of the BRICS is to avoid using the dollar in trade settlement and on a wider basis, like with big construction projects. The BRICS are moving along. They're gathering in more nations. They've got one that's, I think, Indonesia backing off a bit. But watch. They may back off from the BRICS and, like India, give lip service. But India is remaining non-dollar. Indonesia will conduct trade non-dollar. So I don't care. I don't care about, talking nonsense and distraction messages to the British and the Americans. Oh, we don't like the BRICS, but they're non-dollar. Okay? This is a war of deception. The BRICS nations are going to get the British off their backs for assassinations by saying they don't like the BRICS, but they'll remain non-dollar, and that's all that really matters. And that's going to probably open the door to XRP. I think the BRICS are going to adopt XRP as an alternative payment system. Watch them ask European nations if they wish to buy oil and make payment one by one, contract by contract with XRP. I did a consult call with a guy in Oman back in June. He was an Arab, perfect English. He said, Jim, all the utility bills, natural gas, electric, and a number of different contractor bills, like for cement or lumber for a contract site, said at the bottom it says this is settled via XRP. XRP is being used in the Persian Gulf, and it's going to get higher and higher up the ladder. Eventually, you're going to see Persian Gulf nations accept XRP for oil and gas payments, and that's going to radically increase the volume and will probably bring about a higher price for XRP and probably force an expansion of the number of coins. I believe the BRICS are going to be a facilitator for the success story of XRP. I covered a lot of things there with the BRICS, Jim, and the main thing is they're non-dollar. And right now, Europe is working out non-dollar deals with China and with the Persian Gulf and with OPEC nations that are not Arab. Now remember, Venezuela, Nigeria, and Indonesia are not Arab, but they're OPEC, and they're following the Saudi UAE lead of non-dollar. That's what's important.
Do you have any idea why the Canadian dollar is doing so poorly?
Not really. Usually it's a function of the oil price, but the oil price is going up. And I cannot say I fully understand. There might be a problem with blockade through British Columbia with the fires at the Vancouver ports. If there's an interruption in supply chain movement, then I would imagine that you're going to have less in the way of payments in Canadian currency, the dollar. I don't know. It's hard to know.
Is price inflation likely to continue?
Yep, because we don't know how to fight it, and we're not going to admit that we don't know how to fight it, and they're not going to admit how they would fight it if they knew how to fight it. The price inflation in the United States is a supply chain problem. Raising interest rates will make it worse, and furthermore, the supply chain problem is going to be greatly worsened by the rejection on a continuing basis. It's already been well long. I think it's close to a year now of the Treasury bill rejected at Long Beach. So price inflation is going to come about. I think we're going to have underground tunnel supply from Canada and Mexico, creating a very substantial black market in the United States in the coming year for all kinds of different products, maybe from... Let's just say there's a country with a number of companies in Asia, and they realize, well, we can ship to Mexico, and Mexico can go underground and move them into the United States. Okay, this is how it's going to work. There's going to be a lot of demand, and the demand will pay up for various items. I've mentioned some in the past, like, you know, car parts and electronics and camera parts, et cetera. Cameras, not parts, from Asia. Motorcycle. We're going to see a lot more Chinese goods because the Chinese control a lot of California. I think the California government is in the hip pocket of the Chinese. Okay, price inflation is going to get complicated because the typical measures of raising interest rates to quell inflation are not going to work because the typical causes of price inflation, namely too much money, is not the principal factor now. It's supply chain interruption. If you can't wrap your head around supply chain interruption, you've been asleep at the wheel for the last 2 years. We're going to have a lot of problems with shortages. We need to alleviate the shortages, and nothing that we are doing is alleviating the shortages. Everything that we are doing is worsening the shortages. So price inflation will continue. Rising prices. Inflation is a very difficult word. I don't like it. You hear inflation, deflation, reflation, disinflation. This is to make you have your head spin by the asshole Keynesians who are destroying the monetary system. We got a supply chain problem. Are we fixing it? What are we doing? We're blowing up more supply chain nodes. Now, remember, it was like 8-10 months ago, several diesel refineries were blown up. I did not use the words caught fire. They were blown up, probably from an aerial attack with a beam. And that reduced the supply of diesel, raised the price of diesel. And Yellow, the big trucking company, is now out of business. I've read that 12,000 truckers are out of business. They're searching now to find work, to find an independent manner or some other small companies to keep in business. Okay, there's an attack on our supply chain. What are we doing to fix it? Nothing. What are we doing to aggravate it? Well, the cabal appeared to be working many different angles to wreck the supply chain. When I read about the Canadian Rail Worker Union strike a year ago, Jim, I thought, well, look at that. The cabal convinced the railway union to go on strike precisely at the time to ship out the fertilizer for the planting season. This is what they're doing. What are they doing to fix it? Nothing. What are they doing to aggravate it? Everything. The price inflation is not simple. We've now got the Fed that is shrinking their balance sheet. They're trying to convince the world and the nation that they're doing something about the price inflation. What they need to do is increase the money supply and direct it towards supply chain expansion. They're not doing that. They're doing the opposite. So price inflation will be with us for a very long time while the dollar goes up, 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 and then vanishes. The toughest question I've got, Jim, is when will the dollar vanish after it goes up, up in an uncontrollable manner? Well, we haven't even gotten to the derivative side of the equation, because in order to liquidate derivatives, you need more dollar demand. So you're going to get a turbocharged rise in the dollar when the interest rate swaps and the petrodollar contracts are liquidated. And the Europeans are going to be involved with the euro-dollar derivatives. That's their treasury bonds held in European banks. It's going to get very ugly very quickly. And the answer to my question, when will this hit a climax? I don't know. If there's no interference, it could be 4 to 6 months. If there's a lot of resistance, it could be 6 to 8 months. If there's the typical desperate measures to prevent it happening, we could be going on this dollar rise for over a year more. If the BRICS are slow in their gold token, introduction and widespread usage, if they're slow, then the dollar ascent will be very slow also. Okay, you know, there are no easy answers, but this dollar death ascent, the rise into the stratosphere with no oxygen, it's going to be long. It's going to be unstoppable. It's going to be historically unprecedented. It's going to scare the shit out of a lot of people.
We'll have more with Jim Willey right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. Jim, how is the cabal being removed, and who is this cabal?
Well, you know, they don't advertise who they are. They implicitly show who they are by all the fascist, disruptive, controversial, corrupt actions that they take and make policy. Let me just rattle off a bunch, okay? It's the Congress. It's the Department of Justice. It's really, in a big way, the FBI. In my opinion, that is a cabal army. It's FEMA, which in my opinion is a child trafficking U.S. government agency. It's the court system, which Obama set up to be United Nations Agenda 2030. It's the U.S. Army that got corrupted by narcotics in NATO by way of Afghanistan. It's the mainstream news, which got taken over in the 70s, Operation Mockingbird by Langley, our security. It's the social networks that got in the way of spreading the word about vaccine risk. It's big tech and the search engines that did the same. They got in the way of spreading the word about the risk of the vaccine and about the risk of protocol by the doctors to kill, like what they did with Rob Kirby. He was dead within 48 hours after ivermectin I'm sorry, after remdesivir, I keep making that mistake. Rob Kirby was dead 48 hours after remdesivir ended up on his chart that nobody asked for. In fact, 2 weeks earlier, his family said no remdesivir, but they put remdesivir on the chart when they weren't looking, and they were dead in 48 hours. The doctors are part of the cabal. Big Pharma is part of the cabal. The National Institute of Health is part of the cabal. The state election authorities are part of the cabal. Now, I gave you a long list. That's 7 to 10 groups. If we're going to restore the republic, most of them, or at least a good number of them, initially have to be converted, cleaned out, and have the infiltration rooted out and removed. I don't expect that to be done by means of a successful election. If Trump succeeds in getting governors and election officers at each state converted to an honest election and provide some kind of a military oversight of the election counting chain of custody issue, chain of custody, what's the word, procedures, then he might get elected. And that's not going to fix our nation. We still have the Department of Justice corrupt, FEMA corrupt, the courts corrupt, probably the Supreme Court on a knife's edge, many governors corrupt, many corporations corrupt, Facebook corrupt, maybe some of big tech still corrupt. But I got on pretty good authority, Jim, that the news networks and some of the big tech firms got visited in the previous few months, and they're on a 7-point plan to convert toward integrity and truth. And if they don't convert toward integrity and truth, they're going to be charged with treason down the road. So they're converting toward integrity and truth. Here's one just very curious item. There's a certain platform that had me banned all last year, but I'm not banned anymore. So they're moving toward integrity and the truth. It is going to be a tall task to clean out the FBI and FEMA. I believe FEMA has been gathering homeless and executing them and maybe stealing their organs. I had a theory 3 years ago that FEMA is going to pick up homeless, bring them back to good health, and then kill them for their organs. The human organs are worth well over $100,000. You pick up a bum off the street in San Francisco, all he wants is a meal and a nice warm place to sleep, and he's a little bit happy. But a month later, he might be missing his head and his organs, and they're in the black market. Okay, it's going to be a tall task to clean out the courts, not just FBI and FEMA, the courts. It's little known that the day after the fake inauguration of Biden, the day after he dismissed, or his puppeteer dismissed, 250 judges that Trump appointed. Now, that's a pretty effective method to keep Trump out of the room, to keep Trump out of the courts, to keep Trump out of the primaries. We've now got Biden, who's got more similarities to Stalin, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, Mussolini, the other guys put in jail, his political opponents. And that graphic missed somebody close by here. Daniel Ortega did that 2 years ago in Nicaragua. He arrested his top political opponents and essentially went unchallenged and won the next election. Incredibly, won the election. It's going to be a tall task to convert the governor mansions in blue state. They're going to have to prove the Chinese bribery, and that's not easy to do. They've gotten very, very good. I first heard about the Red Mafia back in 2015 or so. I said, what's that? Red, must be Chinese communist. Well, what's the Red Mafia? I said, well, you got the mafia from Sicily and Cosa Nostra in Italy. You got the Russian mafia with a Y. You got the Langley Mafia. Now you got an infiltration of the Chinese Mafia. They're involved in drug trafficking, child trafficking, but also corporate espionage, stealing intellectual property. And Clinton was the inaugurator of that, opening up Sandia Labs. And that is a big story all unto itself. Okay, it's going to be very difficult to clean out the 7 to 10 sectors that are holding the Biden show on the air and continuing. Notice that they have not done the emergency broadcast. Why not? Back in March, the White Hats captured Weather Mountain in western Virginia, the western part of Virginia State. Why haven't they done an emergency broadcast? Because they haven't cleaned out enough of the other seven sectors. There was a news item a week ago that something like 20,000 miles of tunnel networks have been imploded, destroyed under the United States and Canada. Meanwhile, most Americans don't believe that exists because they're clueless and they're lazy and they don't investigate jack shit. Most Americans and Canadians start with a conclusion and eliminate all the evidence that does not support their conclusion. It's the opposite of what's called the scientific method. I use the scientific method. That's why I don't like them. I think they're idiots. My college roommate, Bruce, he died because he was an idiot. He did not ask questions. He did not investigate. He trusted his doctor. I told him he'd be dead within a year or less, and he was dead in 5 months. He died of vax-induced AIDS. The cabal has to be removed. And I've got some pretty good news, Jim, but I cannot put much flesh on these bones. Most of the top for the cabal has been eradicated. Most. I would say the great majority. And their funds have been sacked. And this is a really good theme to end with, as I'm losing my voice, despite the fact that the top echelon of the cabal has been eradicated, sacked, and removed from power, some of them have been replaced by white hat elements. And I bring attention to Elon Musk as potentially one of them, a white hat agent who replaced somebody who was removed. But unfortunately, the problem is something like, I don't know the number, it could be 5,000, it could be 2,000. But it's over 1,000 people are traitors to the nation of the United States, to the Commonwealth, if that's what you call it, in Canada. They're traitors to the Constitution of the United States. They're traitors to whatever binding contract you've got in Canada. These traitors are continuing the game, thinking that the top echelon is still largely there for the cabal. When they realize that's not the case, they're going to be falling. They're going to be vacating, they're going to be running, and they're going to be flipping. And I think that's the stage we're in now, and it's well along. If it's true what I heard about the MSM News and big tech in Silicon Valley on a 7-step procedure toward integrity and truth, then we are we are making great progress and far along toward the conclusion. But I believe, unfortunately, again, that the top cabal figures have put in place some automatic systems that are maybe computer generated, maybe have triggering systems that notify people, send emails, and lead them to believe that certain people are still alive. I believe that there is an AI, artificial intelligence simulation war going on. So this is likely to be drawn out a long time. If someone asked me, what are the chances for a conclusion in 4 months? I would say 10-1 odds against. If someone were to say, what are the chances that it'll be resolved in 9 months before the November 2024 election? I would say 5-1 odds against. If someone were to ask, you think it'll be resolved by January of 2025 for inauguration day? I would say 3-1 against. Okay, the odds are against us because we have allowed the narcotics presidents, Papa Bush, Bill Clinton, Baby Bush, and Obama, the Kenyan. We have allowed them to rule for over 30 years, and they've got multiple trillions in their war chest to keep their game going. And I don't know, for instance, I do not know and I do not believe that the Bush crime family and their $8 trillion has been seized and confiscated. I don't think so. And the reason is simple. I learned a long time ago from Cato, who betrayed me, that the Bush crime family has a wing of the Air Force under their control for chemtrails and, let's just say, laser hits, like what we saw in Hawaii. The Bush crime family. And I asked him, where do the Bush crime family have their $5 trillion, now eight updated, where do they have their investments? And he said, entire national banking systems, in majority of urban office buildings, in port facilities. So they buy the internal structure of a nation like Colombia. And a little known fact to a lot of people is that 10 years ago, the president of Colombia had on his resume the head of the Medellin cartel. The head of the Medellin cartel became president of Colombia. That ended the cartel wars. That was Medellin versus Cali, C-A-L-I. Medellin is city, Cali is mountain. It's going to be a long battle to remove the cabal from their positions of power and interference. During that long battle, we're going to see an ascent of the dollar. We're going to see a gradual decline in its usage for trade settlement and contract settlement. And I expect it's going to be drawn out for at least 12, probably 24 or more months. But lots and lots of significant events along the way. And many people will take one or two significant events, like, say, a bond auction failure or some allied U.S. central bank dumps treasuries and has a big, big to-do conflict with the Americans. And maybe there's some terrorist events that the Langley boys do in Western Europe to try to get them back in line. 90% of all international terrorism comes from Langley, our boys. There's going to be a long, long path, Jim. Long path. The dollar's going to rise during the entire time. The dollar's going to be used less and less for trade settlement. We're going to learn more and more about the gold token. I heard it's going to be valued at $55 for one token. It sounds like one troy gram. This is a very exciting time, but it's driving me crazy. It's driving me broke. I continue, and I thank everybody who supported me. I ask for your continued support. I'm doing my dead level best. I'm beaten up. Some clients tell me, Jim, don't talk about the demonic events in your life. Okay, I won't. I'll just talk about the 20 different 3 Sigma and 4 Sigma events that have plagued my life and cost me a bundle. Is that better? I got easily 15 to 20 3 Sigma events, and I don't wish to rattle off any of them right now. People who know me understand. People who contact me understand. People who just listen to my forecast and think I'm bellyaching, you could eat a yard of my shit. I'm very combative, and if people are wondering why, it's because I was beat on when I was young. I was abused at an all-boy Catholic high school. Use your imagination. But I got rid of all that. Had a drug problem till 1987, but not narcotic, not chemical. Okay, I'm a feisty son of a bitch because I defend the truth. And when I was a statistical analyst from 1980 to 2003, I defended the data. I was the advocate, the lawyer, the attorney for the data. What does the data say, Jim? That's marketing research. I defended the data. I confronted vice presidents who did not do their job well. I confronted my managers who lied and who suggested wrong methods by my colleagues whose work I had to clean up. I've been feisty and aggressive all my life. I'm not going to change. I'm turning it against the cabal. I'm certain they got my picture on a wall. I'm trying to ignore them and to appeal to my Lord Jesus, because the warriors with the Jesus armor on are my friends and my supporters. Well, it's been a pleasure, and in the next 2 or 3 hours, I think I will manage to get my voice back with a little tea and honey or chocolate and milk. But there's nothing like rest to get the voice back. My voice was perfectly fine this morning. It was a little worn out a couple of days ago. I did 3 other interviews a few days ago over a 2-day period, and I wore myself out a little bit. But these are dangerous times, Jim. I suggest people to go to golden-jackass.com, sign up for the newsletter. If you got some pressing issues, sign up for a consult. I did one this morning, got another one this evening. They wear me out, but I love them. most of the people, I would say over 90% of the people, are really nice, bright, successful, good students, and we yak it up a bit. We have some fun. We exchange ideas, and they ask me tough questions. I do my best. It works out pretty well, usually. I've had at least 50 people do a second consult, which is testimony to the effectiveness of the consults. But I've also got a sponsor button that I encourage wealthier people who want to support my mission. Hit the sponsor button, support me. I drop to my knees now. It's my new practice ever since about May. I drop to my knees and thank the Lord for the sponsor aid, because it's four figures. And I need it. I need it. I'm going through hell, but I'm not going to stop. I'm on a battlefield. I'm well armed, and I'm not going to run.
Jim, thank you so much for being on goldradio.fm.
It's been a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for everything. Bye now.
My guest has been Jim Willie, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.